What we're not looking at increases and objectives is what should the target be, what should your achievement be, etc. We looked at what was the target, which was again the Parliament, the International Assembly through the executive structures. So that is what you committed to delivering. What did you deliver? We ordered that. And then we will ensure that if you underachieve or overachieve, you've actually commented on the reason for the variances. So that's the scope in the area of the determined objectives. The third area is compliance with legislation. Now basically what we are seeing there is weaknesses in the system with regards to supply chain management, which then leads to irregular expenditure. Now, in the energy, the size of the CTE would roughly a 60 million rand budget, close to 40 million is on salaries, etc. You have to roughly a budget of about 20 million rand to manage. And it is concerned, if you look at the extent of the irregular expenditure, it's close to 20% of the 20 million rand. Now, and look at a compliance with legislation lying in the table, you see that all of the 5 years have been kicked, which means that there could be other non-compliances in the past, but the one that is consistent in all of those years is in the area of supply chain management. Now, we're going to consider even the size of the entity is a relatively small entity, etc. So you do not expect that there be too much of non-routine type of procurement. There could be any routine type of procurement. There's not many tenders and bids, etc. So it is a warning area in terms of compliance with supply chain management fiscals. Furthermore, in a bigger kind of environment, you have a proper supply chain management office with many officials, etc. I think in an environment like this, there is a supply chain management officer who reports to the CFO. That is an area that must be very looked at in terms of maybe more training. I know they have been trained, but maybe more training. Furthermore, I think that highlights to you that the time has come for consequence management and accountability. In the sense that the line management should be held responsible for the procurement that they undertake in conjunction with the supply chain management official or officers who must ensure that the supply chain management systems have been complied with. And I think that is a message in terms of supply chain management, that maybe that the time has come for consequence management, which will then result in the right behavior, which then eliminates this non-compliance. So basically, to achieve the ideal audit outcome, you've achieved the one area which is having a set of financials now for 4 years which are unqualified. Performance information is an area that I think will just a bit more focused and a bit more robust processes on a quarterly basis. It is an area that can be overcome. The real challenge now is at the area of supply chain management. It's just that one area. If you get that right, you are not far away from getting that ID on an outcome. Historically, there were some challenges on asset management, but it appears now from the last audit and in our subsequent engagements after the year end that it is something now that management has got a bit of a handle on. Then, this table on the next page, which is page 2 of the document, basically summarizes the 6 key areas that the agent focuses on during the audit. The first area is that the financial management receives red, no improvement. The area of predetermined objectives, you see it's red, no improvement. But specifically, if you do the reliability of the information, the verifying it throughout the year, rather than making it to the end of the year to determine what your annual performance report should be. Then HR management is the other area that we focus on, and we say there's some improvement. However, it's basically 2 areas there, the second area that I mentioned, predetermined objective supply chain management. In other words, getting in the capacity, if you've got the capacity to upskill your capacity, to have training implemented, etc. But once you've given the responsibility, once you've skilled your staff, etc., then the time has come for accountability, and that's the message we try to promote. The IT controls, last of weaknesses used in your document is mainly around IT governance. It doesn't directly have an impact on the audit outcome because the entity is using a purchased software package, so there isn't significant risk in that area, but there are some governance issues that have been looked at, which we're not going to discuss because in the IRA will take care of the documents, and there's nothing that should create significant alarm. The material errors or omissions in financial statements in the IRA, you'll see that's green. So basically what that means is that the financial statements that are presented to the AG on the 31st of May in terms of legislation are materially fine. In other words, the auditor is not identifying many material weaknesses in the financial statements which will then require correction by management. So that is, there are errors, but it's not material. In other words, it does not affect the audit opinion. So in any audit, there will be all the findings, but what we think is that it's below the threshold that we set in terms of the auditor's materiality level. The last area of financial health, again, they're saying there's no matters. Basically, what we look at is still a going concern. In other words, are his assets exceeding his capabilities? Is he in a position to satisfy all his creditors and his commitments? Those are some of the areas. Did he pay his creditors on time, within 30 days, etc.? So those are some of the areas that we look at in that area. So basically, in summary, the message we are giving to the committee is that we feel that the time has come for some accountability now in the area of supply chain management, because it's one area that is really holding the entity back from progressing on its audit outcome. And predetermined objectives with some effort can be overcome in a very quick space of time during this year if the required focus and attention is given in that area. So that's our summary, Chair.
Thank you very much, the Auditor General of South Africa, or the chair from the Auditor General of South Africa. I'm not quite sure whether the members of Parliament have any comment or question directed to your AG, or can then proceed with the presentation for the future. Sorry, can then proceed. Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Amira and the colleague, for the information that you have provided. I think this is going to assist us in terms of interacting in the commission itself. And if there's anything that the committee would need, even if it's not today, I think we'll keep in touch with your office. I think you're available 24/7. So thank you for your support and your presence. You can stay with us for the rest of the meeting. Thank you very much. The CG have already welcomed you, and I'm not quite sure if you need to leave. So the chairman, Chairperson, are you going to leave to the meeting?
And also on the question that was asked last time, was also responded to those questions and the offense to the officials. That's it. I'm going to be very quick just to set the scene for the CEO or CFO. And I'm far away from the CGE computer, so see how can I get the first slide. There is a content under which the CGE was operating. And it's just two slides. I'm going to take us 3 minutes just to stay in that context. And it's important to note that this foundation program was undertaken on the eve of the election. So very important. And people always have suspicions when you roll out a program during on the eve of the election. And wherever you go, coaches start to ask, well, are we here to represent the CGE or are we here to do other things? And sometimes this question is always dependent on the commission. And our work, if you read our other report, is very, very biased towards the poor, around the coach. And system needs to be made any type of complaint with the education that we have achieved. Sometimes the workers general disagree with us on the course of the teachers or the areas of find that one people to provide lunch and so on can define and register organizations are system with us. But we are going to be moving forward and show that we comply with these issues. And in most cases through our work, all the reports that are in front of you, they have been developed by the CGE staff members. Maybe almost all, about 90% of our reports are actually developed by us, staff members who do our work and rely more on our staff members as a consultant. I mean the core, the business, the first education and the community association, so we use our own or own people. There might be other issues, things where we use consultants, which we don't have students, but the core business, we use our staff and we consult. That it's also important to note that we're operating under inadequate budgets, looking at our the mandate to speak and we need to actually do a number of things. More, for example, in this chapter, we know that we have to perform the functions and the mandate people that are as much funded. We built a number of relationships with stakeholders like social organizations, state-based organizations, international organizations that deal with gender issues, private sector, government, judiciary, and more particularly with the House of Disadvantage. We were happy to see that the media has been reporting on gender issues in general, and that's what the Committee for Gender Equality is working. And with this challenge, the inadequate funding of mandate. Whenever we come here, we'll bring that issue to the case to find our methods. Going forward, it must be noted that we receive a letter of the Senator AG and one of the members to say going forward, CGE budget is not displaced by 4 million. So, as much as we know that our government wants to actually contain the spending and so on, but it will take 4 million of the CGE budget, it's a lot of money because our budget is small. So we request the government just to assist us in the implementation of the it means we'll never get that formula, it's gone forever. We also check in the request this particular government to have a voice that we try to perform to consider and debate the voice that we try to evaluate by some of the shared support of the government members. And we also feel that it's important Parliament to consider the valid issues raised in the report of the House of Committee on the Remote Satellite Association. So, Chairperson, I will ask the CEO and the CFO to actually present and then the Oscar will be guided by you and have a discussion about how we've done the decision in the past year. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, conversation today is we have been discussing to account or the way, overall the way that the Commission has undertaken for the financial year of 2018-2019. I must say outrightly, looking at where we're coming from as an institution, as a Commission, welcome the qualified disciplinary. Because we agree that there are some significant achievements in some of the issues that we had previous years. Though we do note that there are areas of improvement that we really need to put our all in ensuring that we do away with those, specifically around supply chain and compliance related matters. And we have already started to put together action plans that are already in the process of being implemented to really ensure that this area is taken care of. There has been an increase in the overall performance for the reporting period against annual targets. That I said, as we started to say in April 2018, and for the reporting period, we are reporting 26% of objectives that have been met. This has been an improvement if you look against what we had in the previous financial year. Chair, with your indulgence, I'm not going to judge too much. I think we've spoken around our mandate and our functions and everything that we do. So I would request that I go directly to the work that we have undertaken as a Commission. Most of the previous slides are really around how we are structured, and I know that this committee is aware of that, and aware as well in terms of the oversight committee that we have. The slides that are after that was just to ensure that we highlight and give to the members the strategic objectives and strategies that we have set for ourselves so that we don't report in vacuum. So I will skip right and to slide 15. Slide 15 is where we start how to do the work that has been done. Under strategic objective 1, the Commission has set out to monitor and evaluate policy and practices for public and the private sector. And for that, there were specific activities that we had put for ourselves, targets that we're going to be working on. And for that process, we highlight that under that sub-strategy, we have been able to table the National Employment Equity Report. If you remember, previously we set ourselves to undertake gender transformation hearings and compile reports, which will hopefully help us to hold different departments and private sector to account on how far they have gone. So we do have those reports, and in this particular year, if you remember, we are doing follow-ups just to check how far they've taken our recommendations forward. We've also finalized provincial employment equity reports, and the dialogue has been held with all the different departments and private sector that we had previously sampled and engaged with in terms of transformation and employment equity measures that are put in place. We have said for ourselves that one of the things that we'll do would be to assess the effectiveness of the gender focal assessment in government departments. And if you remember when we presented in this parliament, that is one of the issues that has come out as we were doing our provincial hearings specifically in the Northern Cape area. It was one of the issues that were raised by some of the departments. To say that area needs to be looked closely at, and therefore having taken that out of that process, we then decided to do a specific assessment looking nationwide at those specific positions, as those positions are very important, as they are the ones that help us to ensure that gender mainstreaming happens across each region of the department. We administer the gender barometer tools to specific department, the private sector entities, the entrepreneurs, in terms of gender mainstreaming, and we have produced a report on the status of gender policies and practices in public and private sector around gender mainstreaming. We do work, we review and analyze legislation that comes through the particular parliament, and we look at that from a gender perspective. We have undertaken about 12 for this initial year, that is just last. And I will not get into the actual names, but they are there in the actual annual report. Just to highlight you know, some of the issues, because it's important, many times when we do our work and we end up with, we have assessed, we compile the report and we table the report, it's almost as if our work is just to table the report. So we find it important as well that we try and highlight some of the issues that are coming out from those specific reports that we would have lost in this particular parliament. In the National Equity Report, in the Transformation Hearings Report, we do take out that it's very clear that transformation in the workplace is still a bit slow. Private sector is even worse, and there's issues of gender gap that still exists. So those are things that we will be going back to as we are going to our planning. Those are the issues that we will then be planning around to see whatever we can do to ensure that we hold the department and private sector to account. In addition to the effectiveness of the gender focal pattern, the report there just highlights that those positions are really made up of people who are in lower ranks, and that in itself contrasts with the national gender policy framework, which has actually called that those positions should be at a director level. The department seems to be reluctant to establish fully dedicated gender mainstreaming unit, and department provides limited budget allocation for processes for gender mainstreaming. All that we see in terms of activities when it comes to gender mainstreaming is people getting activities around Women's Month and people getting into the hype of 15 days, and that's more like it, but we need more. We administer the gender barometer tool in order to check progress on gender mainstreaming, and we did that on two national departments. We looked at the SAP app, and we then look at the provincial, community and state departments. When we look at the Department of Science and Technology, there is a lot of progress that has been made as far as gender mainstreaming and women empowerment is concerned. There can be more that can be done, but I think we have acknowledged in that particular report that there's a lot of improvement that has been done. Under SAPF, we do see lack of progress by SAPF and social community and state departments as far as gender equality is concerned, whether it's within their ranks. SAPF still really nailed the naked. So those are just in a nutshell the findings that we have in terms of those specific reports that we have launched in this parliament, and we're hoping that we'll still get the opportunity to engage more on those issues. Under the same strategic objectives, when we look into policies and legislative framework, we look into the National Development Plan. And we look at it from a gender perspective. We have a report, and I think that report is also in your pack. We have also engaged with the National Planning Commission on those some of those particular issues that we raise as far as gender is concerned. We have engaged the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development then, our correctional services, on the implementation of gender equality measures around the Domestic Violence Act, Maintenance Act, Special Offences, Maternity Benefits, and such way. We've assessed the effectiveness of the implementation of the 365-day action plan, and we had also, at the beginning of the financial year, indicated that will be assessing how the newly established national gender-based violence council was failing, and we have had that important in the past, and we have also engaged with the EPSCO and the department in terms of the findings of that particular report, so that they can then be in a position to take forward some of the recommendations that we have and hopefully have a better result in our next assessment. We are still undertaking that assessment. Remember, it's a process that we have started in the last financial year that is going to continue throughout the lifespan of our strategy, if it's still confirmed to be relevant. We've evaluated the functioning of costs, and we have a cost that has looked at maintenance costs, equality costs, and family costs in terms of how the processes are there and how they affect women in general. In the prior year of 2012, we had specific reports that we had, research reports that we had finalized, and we took those reports in 2012-2013 throughout 2023 and engaged on specific dialogue with all the different policymakers on the implementation, on the recommendations and the findings that we had on those specific research reports. If the members would remember, in the 2012, we had finalized quite a number of reports. We had assessed the implementation of the victim's charter, and we had then assessed quite a number of departments that had specific obligations and responsibilities under that. Assessing implementation or and obligations of justice department and SAPF. We assessed the NPA and Department of Social Development, Youth Health, and Correctional Services at the time. And therefore, we have been successfully in engaging with those policymakers within those key departments in putting forward our findings and the recommendations that we think they should be able to take forward as they are doing their way. In assessing gender mainstream in the public services through our gender barometer, in the previous year we had undertaken that assessment. We have looked at Department of Public Works, and we have also looked at the Department of Human Settlement and the provincial one. And the dialogue, we feel that we're able, I must say, in the previous reporting period when we came, one of the issues that we had highlighted that we had was that we are not facing policymakers, but I think that has really changed. We have been seeing that policymakers are of high level up in the department are seeing the importance of the work that we do, and they do engage with us at the point when we put together these policy dialogues. And we have also previously done a report on gender in the national education curriculum, and therefore we also engage or dialogue on those specific findings and recommendations that we have, and we really are hoping that the department will be taking care of some of our recommendations. Some of them, you can see that they already come back and request us to provide further training in terms of some of the issues that they must be looking into when they're doing their work. So we are beginning to see sort of some proof in terms of that particular process. Under strategic objective 2, protect and promote strategic objective, we have investigated complaints of gender discrimination. We have handled a total of 894 complaints for the current financial year. And this number is also inclusive of telephonic and walking for the consultations that we normally hold, and which in many times would not have warranted us to open a further file. That's just the breakdown in terms of the complaints. I must say we have also improved in terms of our reporting format. In the last meeting that we had engaged with the committee, there was a request that we should also make it some is to ensure that it shows gender and race and all that. So in our current social format for this current financial year, we have changed that to ensure that we adhere to that. But because this was old data for the last financial year, it's still in the old format. That's just the breakdown in terms of the files that we have been able to open and the files that we have been able to close for the financial year under review and the previous financial year. And if you look between the 2 years, there really seems to be a lot of improvement in terms of files that we were able to close for this current financial year, as well as ensuring that we target more. I think the process where we started to go to the communities in terms of undertaking affirmative justice programs through our legal clinic has really paid off, and we have been able to get more access in terms of.
I just wanted to ask that the commission weighs up that he has work in mind. Thank you.
That's just a popular presentation in terms of files that have been brought forward from the previous financial year, the number of new files that we've been able to open, and the ones that we've closed, and the pending ones are the ones that we started the current financial year that we are in with. In terms of legal advice teams, where our aim is really to ensure that we provide access to legal advice and intend gender justice communication communities throughout the country. We have been able to hold a total of 126 clinics across the country, and we've just put a tabulary that shows in terms of the different quarters how we fared throughout that particular year. There were quite a number of litigation matters that the commission was involved with. We have the Mayalani and Wanyama case in the Constitutional Court where we acted as amicus, and really the matter there related to Bonga customary marriages, in which the Constitutional Court had to determine the extent to which the action of the first wife's consent to her husband's subsequent polygamous marriage affects the validity of the last marriage. We had the Shidwani matter, the case that has been ongoing. It started in the Mpumalanga province, and we are currently sealed in the Pretoria High Court on this particular matter. This is where a lady is claiming her right towards a chieftainship, as she claims that the current heir that is has just been put there because of his sex. We've got a total linear case which we have subsequently closed our case when this matter has started. It was the matter of a Princess Mamakos of the child. We had formally lodged a complaint with our officer and indicating that she was deprived of her right to become the queen on the basis of her gender. And we did all the way, and quite a number of things came up, and as we reported in the first quarter, it's one of those files that we have put in abeyance in the meantime while interrogating the results of the traditional commission, but as well, we do not have a witness as they thought we would and show that particular matter would not be closed. Under Strategic Objective 2 as well, we launched, as well with this Parliament, our position as a commission, as far as sex workers concerned, we are calling for decriminalisation, and we have also engaged the North African Law Reform Commission on this particular matter. We developed a report on women in political parties in partnership with the National Democratic Institute of South Africa, and that report has been finalized. The second phase that we're taking production for the current financial year was the monitoring of the actual election that takes the parties and subsequent analysis of the seats that have been allocated to the different genders by different political parties. So that the date that's been finalized for the current financial year. We have the special rapporteur on violence against women. And the special rapporteur came to South Africa in 1996, and there were specific recommendations and findings for her visit in terms of the work that she had undertook. She had put the issues around rape and all that, so there were quite a number of comprehensive reports that she had put forward. And as a commission, we took that particular report and we had then gone back to check whether there have been any changes after the special rapporteur had made the recommendations. And we had an opportunity as a commission to engage with her directly on those reports in terms of even engaging her to say how as Chapter 9 institutions we also are able to support the work that is done by all the different Shura rapporteurs. We engage with traditional leaders and religious sector on issues regarding gender equality. There are quite a number of MOUs that were signed in the previous financial year and specific activities that both parties have set themselves in terms of what is to be done, done engagement with LGBTI communities as well. We are in launching the position paper on decriminalization of sex work. One of the issues that we really looked into when we came into that particular work was the gender-based violence coming out as far as sex workers and their violations of their rights and their views are concerned. And when you look at the current legal position in South Africa, we see that it results in criminalization of sex work. Engaging in it is illegal and leads to criminal prosecution of sex workers, bias of sexual offences and any other associated stakeholders. However, if you look at the criminal record, you really don't find this particular social happening, except there's more and more rife abuse of sex workers. And sex workers experience abuse and a number of their rights are being trampled upon, and they do often get that abuse in the hands of our police, and therefore it becomes difficult for them to seek remedies or justice. Sex workers as well, because of the nature of that particular work, there is also stigma when it comes to them being able to access health related services. And therefore, that is basically why, as a solution, we felt that we should be able to really highlight their plight. We do have a number of complaints that we are dealing with at the present moment that involve sex workers and their abuse at the hands of the police. As I indicated, we've also engaged the South African Law Reform Commission in terms of seeing what could be done. A lot of money has spent in trying to release that particular area. However, we are really not seeing the result. Instead, more and more abuses are taking place, so there must be a way in which we should be able to deal with that. Even in political parties, as I indicated, it involves as well for the current year monitoring of elections and women's political representation, where we then reviewed parties and manifestos, we engaged with political parties and recommending looking at adoption of the 50-50 quota system. And the second phase that we should do has been done. In the previous year, what we did was to engage with the big five and front of the dean and the police authority. I'm asking here that, and our report will also be very clear that at that particular point in time, we ended up engaging with three, some pulled out and some did not, decided not to respond to us. So the whole idea was for us to have that particular step take and then look into the actual results of the political parties now during the election, and then have those two put together and then engage in a dialogue with the different political parties. So the election phase is the one that we are currently finalizing. However, the prior one of engaging and giving, having focal areas and all that to political parties has already happened and it has been finalized. Engagement with the special rapporteur, as I indicated, we came into partnership with Foundation for Human Rights and we were able to engage with Ms. Rashida Manju, going back in terms of what we have found on the ground, but of importance, looking into what are the kinds of things that we can undertake as Chapter 9 to ensure that her way is carried forward, ensuring that finally we as a country are able to really progress and look into addressing gender-based violence. Engagement with LGBTI organizations, specifically what we did, we engaged with the Department of Justice, which has a national task team, and we are part of that task team. There were quite a number of consultation workshops that were held, and the representatives from the LGBTI sector, just in terms of assessing and saying how far have we gone in looking into some of these matters and coming up with a clear national intervention strategy as far as LGBTI grouping is concerned. We also have our own specific engagement with the commission that we also did at the community level. We do know that the fee, previously I think Western Cape was high when it comes to abuse as far as LGBTI is concerned. However, we are seeing that now also coming up in Limpopo as well, as we have been engaging even at the university that side, just to look into the challenges that are experienced by LGBTI people, which really include killing and physical violations of lesbians, lack of investigations by SATF, as we engage with what we found, and attitudes and as attitudes against that particular group, and they have experienced some sort of victimization, which in a way creates a barrier to them being able to report. There are delays in investigations and in cases more often get dropped out of court. There are cases and delays in the criminal justice system, which creates barriers to justice and resulting in impunity of offenders, discrimination and stigma experienced at the hands of health workers, creating barriers for access to collective health services, in particular, what we also found. And there's been unpaid mainstreaming or LGBTI issues into state programs, which is why we really welcomed the Justice Department when it came up with that task team and also put forward the national strategy that we put into the version. Under strategic objective 3 as well, that's where we undertake our work in terms of the workshops and dialogues that we undertake through our public education and information unit. And that particular table depicts all the areas that we have been able to cover in various provinces. As well, just to highlight, we are aware that in our previous reporting we were requested to look into districts as well. that's now getting into the reporting now that, you know, we are reporting in the previous areas, so just like in those specific areas which these are falling within particular provinces. But in terms of our new reporting, we will be looking into those areas and be able to identify whether it is rural or urban or peri-urban, as we reflect. Another strategic objective for as well in the previous financial year, one of our targets was to engage with the NCRF, National Community Radio Forum, so that they give us opportunity to utilize most of the community radio stations. As you are all aware, our audience is very limited, and therefore it's some difficult for us to be able to buy air space. And therefore, one of the things that we have decided that we will do under the Protect and Promote mandate was to enable NCRF and ensure that we get an MOU that will help us to get into a platform of different community radio stations where we can then engage on discussions on on our mandate, on gender, but in the Nyanchila language. So we just highlighted some of the areas or some of the community radio stations that were targeted in that in the previous financial year. In terms of strategic objective 3, we set out to review state compliance against obligations under our international instrument, and we have finalized the baseline report for the G Platform for Action for Shido and Millennium Development Goals. And really, in a nutshell, when you look at some of the issues that are coming out of there, I just took an opportunity just to highlight what's coming out, even though we're still hoping that we'll engage further, especially when we are coming towards the reporting time. As far as under the 18 platform, as far as women and poverty is concerned, there are achievements that we have found on the ground. We see that we place poverty reduction high on our agenda as government, and there are actions and policies that are in place to try and address the issue of poverty. There are programs in place for women and children to use social relief strategies that are out there. However, we're still finding a bit of some challenges that women in rural and remote areas, who constitute the majority of women in South Africa and who are characterized by poverty, still have difficulties in accessing some of these particular services. And they do not many a time get into to participate in some of the decision processes that take place at community level. And furthermore, we found that customs and traditional practices are still prevalent, and they still do, in a way, prevent women from encouraging and or acquiring ownership of land and other properties. And I think that also is very clear. Otherwise, it's not as conditions in the case in a way. Women are still trying to fight for their rights within those spaces. We still have there are laws and policies that are in place which guarantee equal access to employment opportunities and social protection benefits, and the right to equal access to employment opportunities and social protection benefits are guaranteed by the principle of gender equality between women and men, which is entrenched in our legislative framework. However, we still find that there are gaps in data that we have in critical areas with respect, for instance, to women contribution to the economic development, effective planning, monitoring and evaluation of gender and impact on the economy and social policy. So we still have those specific gaps. The persistence of customer review of the extent to which women are accessing productive resources, particularly land, remains a bit of a barrier, and that's why we as the Commission also took forward and came up with quite a particular activity which we were trying to share to different departments to run with, Help One Woman, One Hectare of Land. and still have quite a number of gender neutral policies, and this is why you still find quite a number of other issues as we have been aware. We still have a lack of supporting mechanisms to promote advancement of women, as is discussed, for instance, by Article 3 of CEDAW, and there is absence of provisions in domestic legislation for remunerated maternity leave, and this is left to employers to decide whether to pay or not to pay with somebody on maternity. So those are just you know, some of the issues that we are finding on the ground, and so I'm not sure that I'll take this opportunity to look into those and highlight some of the findings that we have. And the strategic objective 4, which is an internal looking strategic objective, for effective, efficient, visible and sustainable CGD. As indicated, this strategic objective is inward looking and it really deals with issues around corporate services, finance, ICT, communications and human resources. Under this particular target, this is one of the targets where strategic objectives where we couldn't reach some of the targets. Under the strategic objective, we had about 19 targets and 3 were not met and some were partially achieved. And as we know, even if you partially achieved anything, when it comes to the AG that amounts to a zero, you should have met. It's either you've met it or you haven't. All these activities that were not met under the strategic objective related to our IT infrastructure processes. In June 2013, we were allowed, having started in the financial year already, to utilize surpluses by National Treasury to then re-look into our infrastructure upgrade. And this project is still currently underway. And of course, under the same strategic objectives, I did highlight right from the beginning issues around FPM, which we were having problems with. Just to highlight some of the things that we see were really significant achievements by the Commission, we have been able to increase our service delivery related targets. There's more work that has been done. And we were able to launch the Commission's fraud hotline called Spiridin. We launched the Commission's complaint toll-free number. We were able to do that. And we have quite a number of gender transformation deals which have been giving us insights in terms of the work that needs to be done. I highlighted that I was thinking around the quick dialogue that we have held, and that they have been a bit of a success in this current financial year as we look against what was happening in the previous financial year. And in the previous financial year, we have been able to translate our mandate into 6 languages, and then this current financial year, we have been able to then finally get the 11, which is the 5 that was that we had out in the prior year. In conclusion, Chair and members, the resources that were appropriated were really used efficiently in line with our legislative mandate, guided obviously by the strategic objectives, and this has in a way led to an improvement in achieving a higher percentage as far as service delivery is concerned. Of the 28 physically related targets, we had 5 that were partially done and 4 that were not achieved. And if you look at some of the achieved, and I think this speaks directly to what the AG was raising earlier in terms of the smartness in some instances of our targets. Some of the targets, if you look at what we have set for ourselves, we had wanted to meet with specific ministers, for instance, for the commissioners to engage with those ministers on some of the results the funding that we have to engage them directly, so that it's not just us at official level engaging in policy dialogue. And I mean, as everybody else knows, it becomes difficult, because if you put a target like that, that target is not controlled by us, so it gets controlled on whether we will actually be granted space to get to engage on those issues. So we have been able to fail on those, because that's how we have put our targets. But we are taking course now, we've rearranged those particular targets in such a way that we don't have targets that are facing us in the hands of a bad party. As well, there was an important research. We have engaged with the Minister of Higher Learning, Institution of Higher Learning, and we have signed the MOUs and the position with quite a number of different universities. And what we wanted to achieve was to look into coming up with a specific research that would look into, you know, culminate into how to reinforce institutions of higher learning to take responsibility around violence that happens in universities. And we signed a MOU initially. The minister indicated that there would be money that would be allocated specifically for that partnership, for that particular process. However, later in the year, it was indicated that they had some budgetary constraints, and therefore that's one of the targets that we could not meet. We are still taking it forward. We've been engaging, for instance, with the Ford Foundation just to see what it is that we can do, especially when we had, you know, universities having signed MOUs with the different vice chancellors. Was really important to see how we can take this particular issue forward. Now aware of the challenges that are still out there as far as attainment of gender equality is concerned, we are aware of issues that we still have to deal with as far as gender-based violence and gender discrimination in the workplace is concerned, and quite a number of violations of rights that are still out there, and we are, as the Commission, still putting forward to ensure that those particular matters are dealt with. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the annual report. Members, can I allow the CEO to complete in terms of the Commission?
From which we are going to be making this presentation on
are contained in the annual report. I think it's on page 118 in the government annual report of the Commission for the year ended 31st March 2014. Effectively, those rules that are being referenced to around the vulnerability and openness has got to deal with what the Constitution requires of those who are tasked with managing public resources. There's been funds appropriated by this Parliament through the Appropriation Act of 2013-2014. And therefore, as I'm presenting all the kinds of statements, there will be also reference to some bodies or some elements or some chapters within the annual report. The contents in summary of this presentation is our annual financial statement as presented by the AG. In the annual financial statement, you will have statements on financial performance, on financial position, and the net flow statement. And as we're also dealing with the matters already taken under TFNA, we'll be looking into how effective managing our human resources, issues on the information and communication technology, corporate communications, risk management, and lastly, we're going to be looking into the PMA and what is our hands. I propose to, as I'm presenting now and then referring to specific pages in the annual report, like I indicated, the financial statement begins from page 118. The net results, overview of financial performance, admission in summary on page 121, which is the statement of financial performance. Effectively, one can see that the entity, the CGE, we are reporting a surplus of 2 million from the allocated funds. Last year, we have reported a surplus of around 3 million, and expenditure has been outlined. But in the overall, we have received 63 million from National Treasury. We have other income, which is also explained in the corresponding notes within the set of financials, which is enclosed herein. Other income of 836,000 rand. Last year we had 2.1 or 2.2 million. Declaration for the difference is basically to say that last financial year there was other income which was recorded to the amount of 1.4 million and the other income was from donor funding. We had a partnership with SABC in which there been a contribution that there was quantified to come to that 1.4 million. Otherwise, everything remains the same compared to the same. And there's an outline of the breakdown of expenditure in terms of expenditure line items, operating expenditure, personal cost. The other slides in this presentation will expand on those numbers. And if you look into the table annexed into the slide, it's basically a summary of comparing what has been allocated, which is the budget, and then how the money is being spent across the financial lines. What we can take home from this slide or the table is that due to existing vacancies, there was underspending on personnel costs of 4.5, 4.6 million, and that underspending was reallocated to fund or deferred to funds under overspending accounts. Into the operating expenses, as example, there's an overexpenditure compared to the budget of 5.519 by 5.2 million rand. Summary of the income situation in the period, we have received 63.1 million rand compared to 59.1 million rand. So effectively, the CD has had an increase in allocation of 5.9 million between the two
finance assets being 2013, 14, and 2012, 15. And other income is not necessarily budgeted, but because we have been holding positive cash balances in our bank, that's interest earned for the period, we have earned the 767,000 rand of interest income, and there have also been some further other income from sundry sources. In the main, we have received discretionary grants from the training center for compliance with the provision of the Skills Act. And talking about our income, effectively the combined income for the year is 64 million, whereas in the previous year we had, even if we look again to the statement of financial performance on page 181 of the report, you see that the total income in the previous period was 61, whereas we have recorded 64 million in the current year. How that income has been spent can be summarized as a slide. Effectively, I think if you look into the blue blocks, would be representing the budget and program. We've got three programs, the commissioner program, the corporate support program, and the main policy development program. The budget would be the blue blocks, and then the red ones would be the actual figure spent. Effectively, the blocks are equivalent in this at the program level, and the expenditure match the budget as for the extent of original allocation. But for the explanation that I gave, they just like to say that there has been movement of funding between the economic classifications, taking money from savings on the spending on COD and compensating for utilities on the goods and services. And this slide effectively also summarize how we are spent in comparison to the target and program. The main delivery program has utilized 3 million of the 62 million that has been allocated. And that is also linked to the main sales delivery. If you look into our strategic plan, you'll realize that our work has been spread across four strategic objectives, of which the first three will be for the cost sales delivery. That is where the 3 million has been spent. And the last strategic objective being number four, human routine, for administration and oversight, and there we have spent 2 million rand. The commissioner program, being a subset of that was constituted in strategic objective 4, has spent 9.4 million. And we also got in that program, sub-program itself, there was an understanding of the budget by 1.4 million. Because we have had commissioner agencies in the period. Until then, I think the commissioner agencies, all of the agencies have been filled by January 2014. Corporate services also recorded a spending of 20 million. And like I indicated, that will be the best way would be to consult reference as well against this annual report. If you look into the annual financial statements, the channel 19 would be in the latter pages, where we are making full explanations on the variances of the budget, narrative results. Digging deeper into how our spending is constituted, we can see that we have spent 62 million, the first column with numbers, 62 million in the SR expenditure, the second column with the adjusted budget, and how we have done the reallocation of underspent funds from COE to other special line items, and the annual budget is also indicated, the original annual budget is indicated. can quote from the slides that three main expenses and attempts consumes 85% of our asset. Effectively, compensation of employees in this particular financial year consumes 54% of or makes up 54% of what we are spending. Travel accommodation, for reasons that we got national presence, we got offices in every province. We, as a result, travel across provinces, and as well, like the secretary has indicated, we are focused on amongst our listed owners, we got the poor, low level people within the society, so we really go grassroots. And then just to roll out our responsibilities as mandated. And professional services, I think it had, that includes auditing, consulting, we said that, and consulting, but the chairperson has also made mention that we do most of our work ourselves internally directly using our own resources. That also explains why our COE compensation of employees is high. Because we're using professionals internally, and then they do the monitoring, they do the investigations, they do the education, and then they write the reports by the CCD tables. And further, you know, in analyzing the expenditure deeply, like I mentioned, we've got presence everywhere else, we've got provision offices, we've got the head office, I mean our head office is in Brandfontein, Johannesburg. Effectively, from this slide, we can see that 40 million spent at the office with minimal budget overrun. There's something wrong. Okay. At office, if you look into the third block, the third table, we had a budget of 39 million for activities which are centrally executed at the office, and then we had a budget of 23.8 for provincial offices, and the actual, looking into the top table, what we actually spent was also around 39.2 million, and for provincial offices we spent 22 million. So we are, our expenditure compared to the budget by local or location classification is within budget. We have been spending within budget. We can see that in the head office expenditure, 32% goes to causes, right? Because within head office, because head office is not only doing administration, head office is got land management within departments, there is core work that is being done at the office. So we feel the expenditure of 40 million that has been classified to the head office, 32% of that went to the core services bank. And before we are effectively indicating budget variances or variances in the budget by a program at the office. This also effectively confirms what we have been talking about, to say in the period under review there have been a balancing act. I think because we wanted to achieve more, we in terms we allowed in terms of preserving resources to do violence, that the environment is done during the course of the year. Violence of 4.5 or they've been underspending from the original budget on COE by 4.5 million, and part of the 4.5 million has been used to compensate the below two lines. Depreciation, which was not budgeted for, took 639. different services and took 2.7 billion of that. And the net difference was what is also contributed to the surplus that is reported. So the overall unspent budget is 1.1 billion or 2% of the original allocation. And taking that 1.1 billion, adding extra income that we have received from interest income and other side resources of 876, those are the three biggest contributors to what we have reported as surplus for the current, for the year under review. Having dealt with financial performance, we are now dealing with a statement of financial position, traditionally called the balance sheet. The AD has mentioned in the AD presentation, the assertion by PGE to say that we are a going concern can confirm by the fact that then we have solvency challenges, our assets exceed our liabilities in the overall, and we also don't have any challenges. We are issued into the statement of our cash flow to see that then we report cash in the bank. So we don't have a balance sheet situations. As at that point in time, at that point in day, we didn't have that. We were strong in terms of solvency and liquidity. And in the balance sheet, we see that we have non-current assets, the fixed assets. Comparing the two financial, I think that the next slide will be giving the detail. But effectively, the financial value of our non-current assets in the balance sheet as of reporting date, which is 31st March 2014, was 1.5. The previous same time, it was 1.7. And in the current period, we have recorded a fixed expense of 140,000. And we have only acquired assets to the value of 374,000. So those are basically the movements. We have not done extensions of useful lives and any other changing estimates in effect. And again, looking into the balance sheet, we see that the biggest component in the total asset in the statement of financial position is cash of 9.4 million. This cash emanates from, yes, the surplus that we are reporting in the current year, but as well as surpluses that have been reporting in the preceding financial years. And she was also made mention in the presentation to say that there was a conditional grant, a permission conditional treasure for us to spend 8.5 million of those surpluses, specifically for the replacement of the CVE fleet and upgrading of the CDX infrastructure. As well as in the balance sheet, statement of financial position, we have capability. There's a slide that also expands on what's constituted in that, but part of it is the 8.5 million that around the time made reference to, which is for this not run, it is refundable to National Treasury unless we meet the specific conditions that they were given alongside with the grant. This is a slide to just to indicate also part of the financial statements. It's not the area of the financial statements, just a tracker. It's safety liberty. Effectively just indicate that our non-current assets are made up of office equipment, motor vehicles, office furniture, office equipment, and the numbers are there. We started the year with a king amount of 1.7 billion. We ended the year with a king amount of 1.455. And the movement that we have referenced to are the additions to what we have purchased in appreciation the provision for well and chill that we can quite in the future. And this is also an effort from financial statement just to expand on the makeup of our current liabilities. Effectively, our current liabilities, if one looks into payables from exchange transactions, exchange transactions are transactions that have been entered into in consideration of the savings or goods in supply. Between the two financials, last year we were carrying liabilities of 3.4. In the current year we are carrying 2.4 million. The fact that the balance is going down may also be an indicator of the fact that we are getting service providers on time. So we are doing better with setting the payment rule compared to the previous year. Payables from non-exchange transactions, one part of their transactions enter into not in consideration of any exchange. And we've got payroll creditors, by and large, what people see in the SARS at that point in the SARS and the employees. And the figures are comparative to the same in the two financial years. We made mention as well of the conditional grant. It becomes a payable to SARS, to National Treasury, until and unless we have met the conditions that are attached to the grant. And note 14, also as on him as well, the financial statements are our conditions. These are book entries based on estimates. And our provisions in the main were for the 13th check, which is a contractual arrangement between the employer and the employee. Bonus in December, which is a bonus payable to lower staff members. Management are not contractually entitled. Management, the commissioners are not contractually entitled to be receiving 13th check. Their packages are to the cost company. But we have made the provision basically for the 3 months because we are paying our business check in December. So for the year ending March of following that December, for January, February, March, we should 3 months. We have made provision for that component of bonus due and payable to employees. And further, our own performance management and development policy have an element of the 75% staff, and we do pay performance bonuses. However, at the time of reporting, the amount indicated there is not what we have paid, the amount indicated there is the provision that has been made. And the movement is also expanded below. So we have made the provision because and the payment will not be dependent on this provision. The payment will be dependent on the objective assessment of staff performance. So at the time of reporting, we just made this estimate with assumptions, and that estimate has been subjected to an objective evaluation by the auditors. Effectively, this is just a breakdown of what constitutes the current liabilities as contained in the financial statements and the slide preceding. The next statement is a statement of cash flow, which is also part of the financial statements. The statement itself can be seen on page 126. In summary, one can say that in the period we have had cash inflows of 64 million, inflows from National Treasury in the main, but as well inflows from interest income that they have in the bank account. And because if you look into the bottom line, the stream right column, we started the year with $80 million in a balance figure from the previous year. We had $80 million in the bank account. $18.4 million, we effectively had $82 million available for spending as an institution. However, if you look as well into the statement of cash flow, our outflows, cash outflows for compensation of employees and payment to suppliers in the payroll, we used $62 million for those specific operating activities, but as well we have had investing activities which put about the basis of each asset. So we have used $174,000 to expand our asset base. At the end, at the time of reporting, we are remaining with $19 million rand in the bank as cash. That is why also some of the assessors feel that we are committed in good. We've got the cash, enough cash to service our liabilities in the short term. And that will be the financial statements. The other element in this presentation is corporate services. Beginning with HR, there are also under chapter 12, from page 87 of the report, on page 92, we've got the presentation on HR, some of the presentation would include predetermined objectives, like predetermined objectives on employment, on feeding of agencies would be contained here. But at the beginning, tables deals with the personal costs. And a quick summary analysis is that we, in the period, the establishment had 112 positions filled, of which 98 were full-time and 14 were temporary and interns. And as well, if we look into management, senior management, those who are tasked with decision making effectively, we got 11 commissioners, we've got senior management, and also maybe managers, but effectively 17 of the 112 were commissioners and senior managers. And effectively, those 17 consumed 26% of the resources. An interesting observation would be highly skilled supervision 9-12. I think breaking that down, one sees that despite the fact that those positions in the small credit TPSD remuneration structure, level 9-12 would imply management. However, given the nature of our, we don't have the special dispensation for people who are focused on service delivery. We are just using one uniform grading system for all of us. So therefore, even one that line composed of 49 people, you see that 40 of those officials are effectively the ones who are at the cold face of service delivery. It's not management, it's not administration, it's service delivery. Effectively as well, reading this table against the financial statements, you see that there's a note number 19 will explain the expenditure, but as well under note 5, I think the financial statements will see the makeup. I can also quickly make reference to that to enable interpretation. Should be around where we find 94, 5, page 143, note 5, that indicates the spread of what has been up to as quick as the amount of employees. So that table around personal cost is what is what they indicate. And as well, looking to the tables, we'll see that the increase and performance of the 2013-2014 financial year during the year under review, in March to be specific, there's been a payment for bonus, performance bonus payment. There's a table within the HR tables that also table 12.3.4 under page 93. That table effectively indicates the amounts paid for salary payment as performance bonus, but that related to performance in the preceding financial year. We have not paid anything in relation to the year under review. There are also tables dealing with this in the report, and those tables effectively my summarization is that let's see, page, on page 94, the biggest leave category would be MLT. So on page 94, the last table, we'll see that number of leave days taken is 1,645, and given our staff complement, including the commissioners, in the period full-time staff were 98, and that's considering the sums more or less 100 people who are accruing between days a year, that will bring about 2,100 leave days available to be taken. So but in terms of how we performed, we have 1,645 days have been taken. And on average, meaning around 15 days been taken per cycle of employee. And my overall assessment is that this picture is a picture in compliance with the conditions of employment, which effectively under position 22 and 23, we are required to be on leave every other year. And then these people, if on average we are taking these 15 days per person, performance was great on assessment. However, I'm looking at the distribution to say to effect that senior management and commissioners did not have necessity to take if, I think if you look into the table, you see that senior management on average 2-10 days, commissioners 8 days on average as this cycle, but yes, that is very big a deviation from the average of 15 days, but in the overall, we are in compliance, we are taking this. We are also noticing the fact that we started off the financial year with a high number of leave days. And then, as it has also been highlighted in some of the report management letter, to the effect that the leave planning was also among the weaknesses in the city administration, we have made interventions. We are going to be, we want leave planning, and then we need to ensure that leave is being taken. And in addition, our own internal policies make provision for keeping on this for even for future of these associated days. And I see these days as well, I think the average taken per person was 3 days for the annual for the annual of the year, which is also not a bad norm. I think in other cases people take more sick leave days. We have taken 3 days on average. There are also tables around employment. On page 96, we see that there are employment numbers spread in terms of the designated groups that we can cannot Indians write, the like and between agendas. Evan, this is all about you guys doing great. I think we employ 14 male peasants and we specialize 32 male employees. And that's why if you look into individual categories, we are very effectively strong across all categories. And my advice would be to say that, especially in decision making and senior management, we are parity, 50-50, 3 female and 3 male senior managers, commissioners, the majority female, and as well along the other critical positions. So, as an institution, we are taking the lead to lead by example. We are online with the ethos. We are also leading our mandate. HR, there are also tables around the employment changes, there have been promotions within promotions. Those promotions have also been maintained in accordance with our recruitment strategies. Effectively, any position is available for contestation, and that even people lower ranking within the institution can apply for open vacancy, and then if they see the deal, they can see the appointment and then consider those to be promotions. There have also been negative changes. We have had a disciplinary action taken against the person within finance. In terms of national treasury regulation 4.31 and 4.32, for reasons of terminating an employee on the basis of the financial misconduct, that dismissal needs to be reported to Parliament, to this House. My emphasis is to say that I'm putting the fact that there has been a dismissal of an employee within the Finance Department, and that employee was dismissed among others for financial misconduct. Effectively, there is no money directly payable from the employees training as well. There are tables mentioning positions as to who has been trained. Effectively, we have spent £221,000 in the financial year training 38 people. And there are also facilitators into specific other modules that provide technical information. Corporate services, IT, it has been reported that it's still a risky area, but they're moving. Half of the 8.5 million rand grant was earmarked for replacement and re-engineering of the IT infrastructure. The project is underway. Strategies have been developed. They're still going through intensive oversight processes within the CGE. One thing can report is that we are also showing that whatever we are claiming, we are into what the AG advises, and as well as we are taking guidance from DPSA. An interesting development within communications, I think that coinciding with the fact that this development, especially within the social media arena. The CGE can now use alternative communication methods. I think in this report as well, there are graphs and statistics that relate to our coverage, the people that we reach through many other modes of communication. Through broadcasting, we are having a close relationship with SABC, we are having a relationship with community radio stations and the like. So compared to this video, I think our communication department is really leveraging on the voice, and that the indications and enough are just indicated the resources that the unit has been using in the period. I think that's really for money. I think that's really being generated for the city and then the parking effect. risk management, we are in compliance with TFMA. We are looking into it to understand the issues. Agency as well as indicators that we are doing better. We don't have any incidences except for matters that have been reported to this committee before, which are ongoing. The former chairperson, CD, and then also there's a disclosure of pending litigation. The disclosure is in the members' statement as a concern liability. There's also an immaterial concern asset as well disclosed in the financial statement. The last component being TFMA outcomes that we reported, we have had an identified audit opinion by the AG on the AFS and serious matters like the United as witnesses, reports around their compliance, but specifically supply chain management. We are making interventions, but I think the process has got to do with our own capacity, and second, of course, has got to deal with behavior consequence management. I've reported the case of discipline, but as well as like an enforcement based gaining accountability, like has been advised, and the field as well with provisions for such interventions, consequence management. As well, I think practice within the CG is for the oversight structures, commissioners and other oversight committees to be looking into the implementation of their orientation plans. It's been done with a rigorously, much more rigorous than even in preceding periods. So there's a strong intervention. I think accountability has been promoted. The other area that we extrapolated from the management plan was on IT, also taking from the fact that it's also related to the SD areas around IT. There are interventions, effective interventions, we are taking this matter as an institution. And in summary, the history of all basically that tells us that currently we are having the best ever point report in a case in a sense that we've got only one matter of emphasis being a condition liability, which is based on the litigation which is not in our control. We have been sued 814,000 by a service provider who canceled a contract for reasons that it was not regularly procured. So we are dependent on that, and then there's also a number of the compliance with laws and regulations. But effectively, I think the CGE has been turning around, and then we are getting an idea, and I think we have a team of interdisciplinaries, and we are working hard, and thank you very much for my chairperson.
Thank you very much,
Fiat Walton,
for the institutions will go to start businesses, but the other way around, which is very difficult, which is in the last 10 years. Other members, don't you want to have a little break? Oh, are you fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very much. Much time on our super strength. Honorable Miser, Honorable Chandela Machete, Honorable my jacket, my good shoe,
and
thank you very much. Thank you for all the motivation. Yes, I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you all and thank you all. I think we can chat.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson, and thank you to the Commission and also to the Auditor General for the presentation. I want to follow on page 15 where you put governance. And I want to say that of course it is the responsibility of the portfolio committee to hold to account this commission. And I think I also mentioned it last year, in terms of the performance of the councillors, you start off by talking about corporate governance and you say that you've got plenaries and you have 12 plenaries this year, but there's no indication as to whether all commissioners attend all of these plenaries. And I think that goes to the issue of good corporate governance. We are supposed to hold you to account yet. There's no indication of whether all the councillors, at this stage, I've got no way to judge whether councillors attended one plenary or no plenary. And ceremony is so important because today is the final decision making body of the division, and you consider reports and management issues. So I would like to say that in future it would be nice to have a table to show you where commissioners are actually engaging in day-to-day activities and whether you're attending meetings. And I'm asking this as well against the backdrop of the fact that most of the tasks that weren't met were because of the activities of commissioners. And if you look at it, monitoring of commissioners, of the implementation of ESEE hearings, all of these issues you've got to do with commissioners, have not attended a meeting with the DOT and follow-ups we made in the next financial year, and the full-time complaint handled by commissioners. So many of these stories that were not met were because of the work of commissioners. And then in terms of your over-expenditure on travel and consultants, you did, you've got 60 million, 40 million goes to salary, you raised for 20 million, and then you spent 10.7 of that on travel and consultants. And I think that's what of concern. I heard the CFO saying that you spent, there was a 30% rise in travel expenditure, and you said that it's because you have to execute a mandate and visit offices, but that was the case in the last financial year as well. Why such a big rise? Is there nothing we can do to curb these costs? Also, you saw approximately 10% vacancy rate. I don't quite understand why we aren't able to fill these vacancies considering the high unemployment in South Africa, and I would like to know just a point on that, please. In terms of page 23, you talk about critical gender challenges in your annual report. I think also what one would like to see is an indication of what the CGD is planning to do to address those critical gender issues. You just list them, but there's no real indication of what will be done to address those issues. Also, on page 75, you talk about 12 submissions to Parliament and other bodies, yet you don't indicate actually what influences have on the legislation and policy. It's just a target achieved. Most of your targets achieved are because of annual... Is there a project?
Yeah.
I'm going to come. In terms of reports, I think the committee would like to see all these reports. I was quite interested to hear your statement about the gender council. As far as I know, the gender council didn't have any money, so it couldn't do any work. But I would like to say we would like to have those reports. And then, what is the conversation with the 30 million over-expenditure that's not been condoned yet by National Treasury? And lastly, I think other people will also speak about it, but I've been in this committee before, and I don't think coming here telling us that you can address supply chain management actually pleases me, because I think it's an issue that's ongoing concern, it's been an ongoing concern for a very long time, and I think finally we'd like to see you coming to us saying that this is what you're planning to do to address these challenges. You know, the agencies make findings, they make comments every year, but when can you see a movement away from the supply chain management issues? I think we really need to have clear answers about your action plans, your time frame in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your question. I just have a couple of questions that I'd like to pose. I wanted to pose a question on stability, because you say that we have enough structure, but we have to reallocate to achieve money that we're supposed to have employed to increase staff that were redirected to administration. So I just want to know why you make that decision. And also the issue that is what the honourable member just mentioned, we have a very high unemployment, but yet I don't see there's a very big gap of inequity between the core management and also the support staff. Is it possible that we can actually increase the support staff? And there's also the importance of internship, taking advantage of this internship program and bring more young people that can actually be able to work on the ground. And also I would like to mention also your reporting. Is it possible that instead of having a wage word of what you're doing, you should have tables of what the achievement is done? And also, specifically, if we're talking about, you know, if you reach a private sector, we want to know what internships have been done, the MOUs that you signed with different companies, and see how far are you. Like, for instance, if you approach a company and say that, you know, how are you doing regarding gender equality? This is the fact. We want to know how we're doing, in South Africa in terms of gender equality in the private sector and also in the government as well. And the different aspects that we've been to, but specifically in the, I'm more interested in the private sector. And also the issue of, I don't hear you talking about empowering women in the economic
platform, like with DPI, how many women have been empowered? How many women are entrepreneurs? I see you doing a lot of violence, sex workers. Yes, there's issues of sex workers, but we can also make sure that our women, they become entrepreneurs, and also, not a million of years, sure, but please give us the figures. Talk to DPI, find out how are they doing, what needs to be done, and the MOUs, things like that. So, and also, most importantly, please table your what you've done, not just come and everything word by word, just give a table so that the reporting is much easier for us to understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. We're aware there are a lot of challenges and whatever you achieve, but nevertheless, Chairperson, when there's a budget, I understand there's a breakdown that you make plans and then you want to achieve ABC. And on a monthly basis, I'm sure you do have a breakdown that this is how much you have to spend. But no irregular expenditure is not acceptable. Because if you look, my share was talking about 2013, 2014, you have been making back from 2008. Now to say you are trying to reduce irregular expenditure, I don't think that is acceptable. This entity is not a very big entity. So we have to look at 63 million. And then we really know very well that we're spending 539 million specifically on salaries. That distracts us. And then your overall day-to-day operational expenses of about 20 million. And then if you are going to lose 10 to 20% of the 20 million, surely something is not right. And the chairperson is looking for an extra 4 million, but you already have got another irregular expenditure of 5.3 million. Something is not right. That needs explanation. You cannot have on a daily basis people who are going to train. You should be having specific correct people in the right position so that at the end of every month people are covered. That's one. Number two, request a breakdown, do your outreach area. You can see in terms of promises. And if you can give us a breakdown page which municipalities you actually go to so that you can have a look and see if you are covering. There are remote municipalities where people don't even have any knowledge about community gender commission, so that we know that this information is getting to you.
Maybe in a sense you can allow only summarized presentations, because it takes much more time so that we need to add more questions so that they are able to improve on their presentation. But I also want to thank the Commission for putting them on quite a bit, which gives them a great performance. There are four issues that the Auditor General has identified. Out of the six, only two they have performed well. On this form, we need to know from the CEO from today onwards what plans will be put in place to rectify this form. And hopefully next year they're not going to come in again with those colors. I mean, the yellow they have been green, so it will be four. The yellow on the stage to red one. And then going down to the report, climate change management is a thorny issue in the commission. There are 5 points that the Auditor General raises on these 5 points. Some of them is that the deliberately is not complying with the regulations that are given to them, and why it takes that. They can give us reasons why they do that. But in the presentation of the CFO, he says the training that was done between, and I'm not sure if it is ever training, it ended in August 2014. And I hope this training was specific on the issues that the Auditor General has been raising in the last years, that they have had problems with supply chain. But he has not indicated if the training was specific and is going to help the CS hope to improve on the issues that were accepted by the Auditor General. And there are recommendations that the Auditor General has made to bring the recommendations that he has made or she has made, and these some of them are necessary steps that have to be taken by being enforced to these officials that has put the commission to raise, and they must tell us exactly the consent or the discipline of officials. And those might be the procurement officer was supposed to do a list of expenses every month if they put that in place. If they haven't, why? Thank you very much. Thank you.
People are shocked. Oh, I'm doing the application in Nakurman 01-03. 5-0 kanjani. Owami umbuzo uthi kungani le mali ize ikhokhwe manje ngo-2013-2014 yayingakhokhwanga ngo-2012. Okunye abantu abawu-64 baningi kakhulu, kusho ukuthi ikhona inkinga management. Yilokho nje okwake bengisanisela ukuthi ngempela lesiyibuza ukuthi kungani sikhokhe manje le mali. Okunye mhlalo samuhla ngiya kumhlosha lapho kuyoka oke wakhulabisa ngendaba yasemakhaya namasiko abuyathi ngendlela abantu besifazane. Emakhaya khona into engikhona. Okunye okuqondene nje nabantu basemakhaya, ikakhulukazi amakhosikazi amakhosi, sengathi ngingaqinisa ukubavikela kule nto yokuxhashazwa nabashonelwe. Yabona like unkosikazi nenkosi ishonelwe umkhwenyana wakhe kunabantwana. Kodwa sekutholakala manje ukuthi efuna ahambe umhambuma ney'ngane ngokuthi bekakwazi ukuthi athathe lelithakama lokuthi abe inkosi. Leyo nto emakhaya isekhona lento yokucindezela abantu besifazane kuthola ukuthi ngempela inkosi la shonile umakhosi mhlawumbe mncane sehlenyuka manje ngoba sekuthiwa kungena omunye ezoba yishifo. Le shifo ayihlalabheke bezokuthi bayadla nokwenzana. Okunye
Could I ask please that we have some translation because we've been silent for a long time, if you could just help
I thought you were not
I don't understand. You could just help with translation. Thank you.
We have all our staff. Okay. What's your turn around? Pardon my character. You call my brother, I'm a single. Ey'nkolelo-ke yona sesiyisebenza kodwa ma uhamba ubheka manje esikhathini samanje ziningi izinto ngakuthi umkhwenyeni wakho beshiye wena kuney'nkomo la egcineni kodwa ekugcineni awusakwazi ngisho ukuthola ngisho lutho sekuthiwa buyele emuva ukuthi lele sibashi ukuthi ngishishiswa ukuthi khona nendalo ethize umama khona sentingeni ungatholi ukuthi sigcine sekuthiwa balela isitendo kuzashizobulawa bulala amafa emkhwenyana wakhe. Okunye ebengizoxela ukuthi nesiphinde sihlekelele yilokhu kwey'nduna. Induna yilaba bantu esigodini othole ukuthi abantu besifazane banikwe ithuba lokuthi nabo babe yizinduna bakwazi ukulekelela nabo babambe iqhaza ekubekeni abantu nokulawula. Okunye-ke
So we need to look into those things, because that infringes on the rights of children and their integrity. And another point is the issue of the local headmen. Women are not given an opportunity to become local headmen, because that would give them an opportunity as part of the traditional community to be able to practice certain rights and power. So women do need to be empowered in that regard, so that they could enjoy the equal recognition as their men counterparts. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. In the report of the CGA, you mentioned certain issues we are dealing with various departments on certain issues, whether they can be able to tell us why are they unable to employ the people with disabilities, and for you to elaborate why do you have only two employees with disabilities, and also in the future if you can give us a report on the employment of disabled people in your provincial office. And the other thing, what is the CGA doing to try to find the disabilities at the
A lot of good questions have been asked, so I'm not going to repeat them. I'll keep my input brief. I'm glad that there has been an improvement in the audit situation coming from the day of 2009. I think we experienced much worse than we've got now, so this is good. But as has been said, we need to focus those areas where there are sort of problems. I still get the impression, not only with CGE, but many of the other departments, there is sort of a box ticking exercise going on. You tick the box, you don't show me a report, but we don't really know what the outcome is. And I think that's important for us to know that we're getting value for money, that we are really achieving something. And we've heard so eloquently from nations, this is hard for you to hear what happens, how women and children are disregarded, and something needs to be done about it, but it's an enormous problem, it won't happen overnight. So, yes, I was also interested in these performance bonuses, and I'd like to know how people are evaluated for those. You mentioned that the staff were evaluated. My colleague over here mentioned attendance at meetings of commissioners and paying attention during meetings and so on, and I just wondered, are commissioners also evaluated? What are the outcomes by which they are judged? So that we know we are getting value for money there as well. Thank you.
In terms of all these tracks and these things, where the attendance is going to be.
is want us to go to the disaster areas in the country and work there. And I will, when we talk about travel, we don't only talk about flights, we talk about driving to Zimbabwe from Zimbabwe, which is 500 kilometers from Zimbabwe, back, sleeping, walking, because of safety and so on. So it's a collaboration of a lot of things. If your budget base is so small like Fiji, when you can't reach that, it becomes so big. So those are some of the critical skill issues. For example, driving from Nestle to Bokas, having a workshop. And those are realities to vendor and so on. Those are realities because one of my friends was really wanting us to go to the deepest areas of the country, you know, and all the other ones. So those are real realities, but when we calculate, those are some of the bigger issues that we have. So if you have a low base and so on, and therefore have to go to this community. But not that actually we could not do more to try and increase the travel budget. Maybe, that's why we're working. One of the ways that we're doing computer stations in Australia and so on. So those are the two. I think the second thing was special that I think this year, I think we were different. Kind of trying to try to appoint people to try to keep those regulations. Critical issues, and that's important that we also want to understand why we put it there, to try to change these issues. When all of the departments are going to say, what are we doing about this particular issue? But that's the CGE. That is all the future of training going forward. What is it that we need to focus on when we learn about 2020-2014? In one of the issues I mentioned in the commission is that, for example, we're going to use the GPV and the SAPS annual report on crime. Yes. Identifying the hotspots of GPV, so that when we run workshops, we go to those hotspots and engage people to look at the hotspots. And so that we can use this information before we go away. I think it's important as a question going forward that that we include what is not doing in the commission for gender question issues. I agree with that. There was a question by one of the machine about environment and so on, the share force on that GV reduction. If you want to use the private sector, the commission for gender equality in 2009 realized that the private sector is the worst performance comes to gender equality. There's no doubt about that. The state tells us that there's 10% of CEOs who are women in the workforce and 4% and so on. But in the commission, we've actually used taking the employment equity report, the business association women's report as well, we've analyzed those, we've looked at the worst government companies, most of those have actually called them to appear before the gender commission. This was what I was talking about public here. So if I call and have a hearing of these companies who can appear before us, those that are called, when we call them on day, we see that there's a change. For example, companies from KZN, companies from Bumanak, and so on and so forth. So ESCOM and SCG as well, this year, we actually take a short visit to ESCOM just to see for ourselves the women and men who are professionals in the white women that mean. So those are the things that we're actually doing. And also, we also call these control committees or sisters to ensure that DGI comes here and labor comes here. When they monitor all these companies, that is infused in the gender equality issues. One of my spoke about the issue of the presidential strength, and she also has been about that as well. The red job on municipalities that we go to, I think that can also submit, but I can tell you that over the past 5 years, we've been each and every municipality in the country. And the commission as well, also monitor the areas that you go to. So very, very important. The issue raised by another friend, what plans will be put in place to deal with these issues, supply chain, the CEO, the Chinese Commission, what are going to try and arrange that, and also the recommendations, the planning area. The issues sure that the paper is around 64 and 64 that will be delivered. The commission question that comes to the issue of issues. We have a lot in South Africa around the appointment of health, women and health. What have observed in the situation is that the legislation for election of head women and head men is a window of opportunity to help bring in women. And that legislation forces traditional countries of at least 80% of the nation of women. We see that that's associated. But now we need to actually check further to the actually effective contribution levels. As a commission, we're taking a project to try to go in more traditional countries. We're building in Bombo under the leadership of one of the members who is just a particular committee, traditional culture, to observe what they do. We're being formal to observe the participation of women in those traditional cultures. So we are doing something, but after the commission for gender equality, we actually signed in order of understanding the house of gender leadership. For example, in Bombo, we have a more extended session, we have a very good organization, listening for the MOU, and Northern Cape MOU, who are finalizing the national MOU in the House of Central Leadership Philosophy. And what is also interesting is that all the House of Central Leadership now, the agenda equality component committee that deals with gender equality issues, that makes our way easier as well. And that's what is also important. House of Central Leadership, they sit in local countries, and there is a new commission, women's commission in all the local municipalities. They are looking at the issue of gender equality. But I'm not very, 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 but let me just give them the opportunity to the CEO and the CEO forward to share the concept. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I was wondering if I couldn't come in just because this relates to the questions relating to commissioners. The last question, I think, the Honourable member related to the evaluation of commissioners themselves. Just briefly say that the commission developed a handbook which is really a manual on the conduct of the business of the commission based upon the constitutional mandate of the commission, the legislative framework that is based, as well as articulation of the roles and responsibilities of commissioners. And so all the commissioners adhere to that. And the chairperson, who the first among equals, holds all commissioners individually accountable by way, for example, of submitting a monthly report of their activities. And not only that, that at every quarter, they then also have to submit a quarterly report based on the strategic objectives of the organization. And account, so the third level of accountability is that the commissioners hold one another accountable as well. And of course, it is a known fact that as a collective, they report to this planet every quarter on the organization. And so the reports that they have spread as I said, and form part of the records of the commission. This is on the company.
Chair, the issue of corners, the commissioner has not been any corners. Because the first day that this kind of mission is of commissioners or first commissioners, but we approve the bonuses of the management, the additional payment, and so on.
Thank you, Chair. One of the issues that has been left out, substantive work before I get into issues of finances and HR. Yes, in page 43 we do raise issues in terms of the issues that we found on the ground of the commission. I think part of the way that we do is to be able to monitor, tackle some of these issues, and hope to engage those issues with this portfolio committee, but as well as other portfolio committees, we should be able tracking the web to account on some of the web that we've done. Honorable member, we do have that announcement of the National Journalist Guidance Council. That report is also in that particular text. Most of the work that we do, how also AG is able to judge that we've done that work, is for them to check whether those reports have actually been lodged with parliament. And that gets done every year end. However, we do, each time we come to engage, we do bring some of those reports before. I think it's really important that we do find space to actually engage on the substantive work that we've done, engage on the report. It's not going to be possible that as we come here to account on the finances and the work that we've done, many a times it does not give us enough time to be able to get into the nitty-gritty, to be able to highlight whether it's in terms of percentages and all those issues that we found on the ground. So it's quite important that we do have a question specifically on the report so that we get to engage on the issues that we've found on the ground as a commission. We do have intention programs. We do try to bring the youth into the work that we do. I think if you look under the table for HR, we did indicate in terms of the initiatives that we have. When you look at the PD as a whole, we have approximately almost 2 in 10 that are attached, for instance, either in legal departments and relations departments across the country. So we do have those numbers of about one or two that we have. So we do take it serious, the issue of creating knowledge for the youth that is out there. We do have challenges, I think we must indicate when it comes to employing people with disabilities, and it's one of the things that we put forward. Each time we go out and we try and fill a position, we have an employment equity plan that we are able to refer to, which we are vigorously trying to ensure that we get and are able to attract people with disabilities. What we have also started doing is, as we run an advert, we also run an advert within the disability sector. We've been using the disability sector within the previous women and people with disabilities that have now moved to DSP. However, we still have those contacts and we still share a lot of our adverts with them with the hope that we will be able to really get to the percentage that everybody else at best if we can do more is expected. In terms of the issue around irregular expenditure, I will try to understand that the CFO is also going to be looking into it. But I must indicate, yes, Honourable, there are plans that we have put in place in order to ensure that we have this particular problem. By way of history, I think previously we never even used to have a supply chain management unit as an institution, and that decision was taken as we saw that we were having all these problems. We have been able to train the supply chain staff specifically on supply chain, and we've gone through the training that is put forward by Palama, PDF formerly called Palama, now the School of Governance, on supply chain. We've also trained now the lead countries, and that is a problem that we are taking forward to ensure that as we procure following proper procedures so as to alleviate this issue of irregular expenditure. We have as well, I think part of the issue
because we started this unit, we started it at first as centralized Jerusalem. And many a times, if you look into our village, the things that is more around whether it's venues that we get for specific activities that we run at provincial level and or you know, catering services on the ground as we run those particular programs. And part of what we are doing, we put in place a system. We are just awaiting for our IT infrastructure upgrade process to finally unblock, because our lines or our network is not as yet allowing a process such that we are able to take that process to provinces, so that we are able to really look into their processes and check how they are doing the actual procurement on the ground. And many a times, one of the things that we also put in place is to ensure that people plan properly, because planning is one of the issues that really have exacerbated some of these problems. If we're going to be having a workshop somewhere in Venda, and then that particular office highlights you know, 3 days before the activity takes place, that's some of the faults that then make people not to follow, you know, proper, like a hiring 3 quotations and you just get 2 quotations instead of 3. That exacerbates the process of our irregular expenditure, and those are the measures that we have put forward to ensure that we curb those particular issues. We can even share the actual action plans that we have. We also share that with the Auditor General and then keep them in line to the action plans that we put forward to deal with some of the audit issues that have been highlighted. I think as well, just to address the issue around chiefs and chief wives and all that, we do have those particular matters that we deal with. For instance, in Venda, we do have a matter that our legal department is currently undertaking, where because a chief passed on, the brother is now taking over and has just thrown off that household, which by the way has got sons. So we do deal with those matters. That's why I think we need enough time to really engage on substantive issues that we also deal with on some of these particular matters. We have, Honorable Robinson, we do have a performance management system in place. We do sit and we perform assess staff members by annual, and that's the basis really that we use for us to at the end pay off performance bonuses. We do have committees as well that are in place internally that ensure that we do moderate and look into the kind of marks that have been given to specific people, taking into account as well the bigger organizational performance. We take that into account as well to say how did we perform as an institution, and then we look into those and be vigorously engaged. And of course, that is also an area of oversight by commissioners. So we don't just decide and come back and say this is the amount that we are going to be paying. And when it comes to issues of appointment of personnel, it's not like we don't actually, you know, go out and advertise. We do advertise, we do sit, and sometimes it becomes a little bit difficult to really get the people that could be able to do the work. And we have really tried now vigorously to ensure that we also engage our other stakeholders that are on our database to ensure that we don't just rely on the adverts that have gone out. Part of what we used to do previously was also just to advertise on national papers, but we've also taken a decision to also go into, you know, kind of community newspapers so that we are really able to attract people. Because
because for many a time we do seek to go through this for a struggle, and then we are not to really find people, and we find that we just have a few freebies that are on the pay. So we have done now the strategy to ensure that we also go on the ground to be able to fill all positions as per our structure. For the fifth, I think part of when I was dealing with issues around what is it that we've done around supply chain specifically, what are the things that we put forward, but also to try and address some of the issues that have been raised by Honourable Minister today. What exactly what it is that we are going to be putting in place to ensure that we deal away with the two red bases. I think one is supply chain management, but as we indicated, there are risky area where we have started processes into implementation of the new IT system is also IT itself. As well, IT, when once we have done the IT process, will also enable us to roll out the kind of system that will help us that supply chain and procurement that is now on the ground in provinces for us to be able to monitor it more closely. And when it comes to the actual activities around performance information, I think it was another year ago in the ABG scheme. What we did, like I've indicated, we changed our targets, the manner in which we put our targets, because it was also a problem in the area. That, for instance, if we say we're going to meet a specific person or a specific matter, then it becomes a problem. One of the things that we always put, Honourable Robinson, to try and get rid of the issue of we are always ticking the box. One of the things that we try and do when we put our ADP together is to put engagements that we plan to do on some of our findings. And if those engagements are not within our reach, it always becomes problematic. Many a times when we get into a planning session, we always find the send off between management and commissioner, because when you look at us trying to ensure that our targets are such that is what we do and something that is within our control, these are the, you know, the kind of activism that we need to be displaying. But also the thing is to expect the fact that when the international comes, you know, they are not going to be able to say it when you say, I've written, for instance, if we put a target system, we are going to engage with a specific committee on the result of our report. That really is not in our hands. Even if we've written letters to request, that will take a month. So we are still trying to find a way in which to ensure that we are able, in our target, to really put forth what we do as an institution, but also taking into account and ensuring that we look into the smartness effect, which the AG is going to be judging us on as well.
Thank you, Senator. As the CEO and Chair has answered all the questions, I will just maybe just make additional comments. Starting with travel, just in this case, if one is in this case, somebody is very out here on the board, there are comparisons of what has been spent between the two financial years. In the current year, the annual review, we have spent 7.8 million compared to 7.4 million. So there's been an increase of 6%, which one can in part attribute to change in prices, CPI. The 6% is within the targeted and even the actual inflation rate between the two financial years. But I would also want to mention that
that also correlates positively with the increased height and increase in the APT activity that the member took this year as compared to 2012-2013. So those are the factors that will be driving the increase. The 13% that was shown in the slide is basically to say that travel and accommodation constitute 13% of the overall spending in the 2013-2014 financial year. Irregular expenditure, I think we agree totally that it is totally unacceptable not to comply with the laws and regulations. The CEO has also mentioned that there's also a history to the inheritance of irregular expenditure. The 30 million that is shown here comes from previous pillars. We are pressing to national treasury. Because in terms of the rules, National Treasury is also considered to be a relevant authority to regularize or control the regular expenditure. We have followed standardized processes to ask for condonation. We are basically waiting for the response. We have accepted the institution. We went and answered the raised questions. Because they really want explanation, they want to emphasize on consequences management, they want to see what it is that we're doing, they want the liability to be determined by 11. So we are waiting. So the next step would be for National Treasury to express an opinion to say we condone or we don't condone, and then that will be the next step for just but then there are engagements. But as well as to what we do as an institution, we spoke about training, also in specific as well. We have had 2 5-day-long training for 2 groups. The first group was the one in December 2018, where we trained the internal advising staff as well as other administrative staff. We have trained 20 people, 20 officials for head office and provinces in that on the full house, what to do in supply chain. They've been trying to be competent in executing, in being excellent practitioners by the School of Government. And in August of 2014, because supply chain as well, because it has to be open, it has to be subjected to oversight. Our committees, big committees, members of staff officials who sit in those, who have been identified sitting committees, being the evaluation committee, administration committee to consider it, have also been trained and they've been provided specific relevant training dealing with procurement, the policies, giving them know-how or even the knowledge around what the national policies on supply chain and including the tools of how to run the business of evaluating and So there is one of our interventions, but a critical intervention is the intervention on consequence management. In as much as we are empowering people through training, we are also empowering officials through decentralization to say, do but be accountable at the end. So what management needs to do beyond decentralization would be to exercise oversight and so it's part of our plans to say we empower the doers with knowledge and then we hold the doers responsible. So it is in the plans. I think we're improving our systems around getting rid of irregular and non-compliant procurement activities. Also, there have been comments that I think I can comment better. The issue around performance bonuses. We take performance bonuses that relates to 2018 in the current year because this was the situation. We finally assess performance after the financial year has ended because performance period or cycle of performance is linked to financial year. and we only do the treatment after the financial year. So we have disclosed all the information that one was telling me that relates to the previous year, but in the interest of transparency, we make that information available to the users of our financial statements. But as well, I think the fact that we have paid 64 of the staff members, that was part of the question, why so many? There's also an intervention. I think the system is failing you, our governance system is failing you, and then everywhere I think performance incentives is good pay a little, does not necessarily pay the majority. I think there are moments in every competition, few of us. So, but we are acting the game by improving our performance system. I think the number of significant contains in the preceding period, we have quite a higher number. So as we hold, as we smarten our target, we smarten the way to run the performance, this number should naturally go down. I think one that will take you very much on our session.
I remember that we did not place confidence in the check rate because it's quite a one, and members, other members have already mentioned the house because it's got other meetings, it's full of committee meetings. And the question is, was actually here the best meeting where he made it 18 and that made us a leader to the region what was put in the end of the poll. We had a long day in the meeting, so the question is, the best meeting today is much more different. I'm not quite sure if that is anything, but I'm just going to keep. Thank you very much, the chair and the advocate of the
and I'm not quite sure whether members use in the question or follow-up.
the check is the building free. And I look at the solution and cover the right. I know that I'm not just convinced with regards to the response because we want to change the way we are doing the facility. And as you see, this is the pace in which gender transformation is happening in South African services. We are worried that as part of the institutions that are driving this thing, this is a severe tournament. So I think we need to and the other thing is that the thing that we are worried about is that when you've been refused and qualified for some years now, it's really challenging to be 2013. And we had a commitment in the last parliament that we are going for a June audit. I'm not quite sure you're still having this commitment for the next year again, June 2015, based on the material nature that you have just right now. And the AGF is based in the committee, but otherwise the solar committee will be expected to conduct its oversight over your department. I'm not sure if you have anything.
I'd like to find out if any members mentioned the issue of monthly reporting. I could actually ask CGE if they could actually report regularly, like the monthly, as it was recommended.
Thank you very much. This is your main mention of the action claim. I think that was the action claim regarding the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, and you also indicated that your conclusion was them to the Constitutional Committee. Is that what you said? Yeah, I think in addition to what you have now, this is what the Constitutional Committee is also recommending, just to check on the issues that have been raised in the AG, whether you are making any progress or not. So we recommend marketing report, even if they can be awarded to the committee location, because you are expected to come in account on a quarterly basis. So this is a recommendation put forward by the personal committee. But also your action plan must be forwarded to, at the time frame, the time frame, must be forwarded to the personal committee.
Kodwa-ke lokho sekuyimphako ukuthi bangihambele nabo abahlonishwa bangaphesheya ukuthi yenziwa njani inkosi if idrayifunekhansela ifunele ukuthi abantu bengenamazi bengenani ukutubela namgwaqo. Ngiyabonga.
Members of Parliament, I don't think there's any other matter. We're going to release the CGE, though I know it's last time, but just to have a briefing, small briefing, in terms of the DRR report, how we move forward. And CGE, thank you very much. I think we're going to meet the point is the deputy chair on the issues of the strategic planning sessions. If members have any input, then we need them available to your institution. Great, thank you very much. So that we should come back around November in terms of our program, but you will get a return in for the data. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
recommendation to the court. Take a look to us, all of your good. So that's a lot of people. And the court was just a little bit last month. Just ready. You have it. All of you. If you're ready. No. A very beautiful hand. Also, yeah, I think all of us understand the very same thing. So my proposal is that as much as we are supposed to adopt this report on or before the school, on or before Friday, we must as a committee adopt this report. So I'm requesting that because remember the report to late or during the day, during the course of the day, and you know we also prepare ourselves for the university and the future. So we are proposing that let's go and read it, apply our minds in terms of the recommendations that we want to submit to Parliament, and then later we call the team on Thursday around lunchtime. We make some arrangements for that.